Today is a big festival in the life of the church, Epiphany, and we only celebrate it once every 6 years here when it's on a Sunday, the coming of the Magi to worship the Christ child. What beautiful images, huh? It conjures up our Christmas cards, our nativity scenes, and non-Jewish Zoroastrian Magi, by the way, priests and scientists at the same time, on the edge of the research of their day, advisors to the king of Persia, and clearly open to new revelations of God's presence and power in the world. These magi, seeking and following the star in the east, come to worship with great joy, we heard just now, at the feet of the Christ child, whom they proclaim, these scientist priests, that Christ is God and Lord. You know, this imagery of the spreading light of Christ is so incredible. It catches our imagination, and it should. In fact, in this Epiphany season, we're going to be looking at this, the prism of the light of Christ, of Christ's light that is shining into all dimensions of life. And as you know, when life goes through a prism, it breaks down white light into all the colors of the rainbow. Roy G. Biv are the colors there. And we're going to talk about those in this season. What are all those dimensions? The first prism of light that we want to shed light on today is the concept of power. And especially for us, the positive power that grows in us as people of the light of Christ. So in this story, the power issues are staring us in the face, right? Here they are. This huge contrast between the force of King Herod, who was a wicked, dangerous, nasty guy, so dangerous he had one of his sons killed and one of his wives killed, and him and the religious establishment of Jerusalem, of course, this is the capital, the seat of power, over against the seemingly insignificant power of a baby born to a low-income refugee family in a broken-down little village, only 9 miles away from Jerusalem, by the way. Look at this. Just 9 miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. But some writers have said what a huge 9 miles it is from King Herod and his power to King Jesus and his power. Not unlike that incredible leap of consciousness of the wise men, the Magi, and the empowerment they experienced that day in Bethlehem. Now, to consider the power, this power, in honor of a scientist priest, the scientist priest who came to the end of their research to bend their knees and worship our Lord Jesus, I want to call in a different scientist. His name is David Hawkins. Anybody hear of him? Scientist? Okay, good. We got a couple people that study this stuff. At any rate, in his book, Power Versus Force, he researches consciousness and power. That's what he's done for several years. Now, and in his book, he talks about the calibration of the levels of human consciousness, energy, and power. So, now you can take or leave any of this, like any science, just like the Magi science. Some people wouldn't buy that either. But I'm going to share it with you to help us wonder at the meaning of Epiphany, this revealing of Christ in our lives, in our world. So, to start that, first a question. How many of you like being happy? None of you. Oh, okay. Well, I'll start on the lower scale here then. By the way, did these get passed out by the ushers, this little handout? You got these? Awesome. Because this comes from David Hawkins, just some brief notes from him. And by the way, this is one of these sermons where you probably might get bored because it was a short week and I didn't have time to put it all together, so you're going to have to do a lot of work on your own this week. But feeling good is a good thing, isn't it? It's not a trick. I mean, I know that's what you expected. It's a form of energy and power to feel good. And when you feel good, it's better for your health, right? That energy flows from you to the people around you. They can sense it. There's power in that. And when we're around happy and joyful people, that has an impact on us, doesn't it? And when you walk into a room of fighting people, there's energy in that, isn't there? There's a negative energy. There's a force in that. We're going to distinguish power and force. There's force in it. You can feel it. And if you are the one who gets angry and has a tantrum, you know, you might have to go take a nap over it, you know, yourself. Just like the people around you might have to go take a nap as well. There's force in that. There's energy and force. In fact, everything in the universe has energy. It has power, if you think about it. Even a dead, decaying stump in the woods has energy to it. So, David Hawkins spent these years researching energy and power, working with millions of test subjects, directly and through surveys, and he came up with a scale of the levels of consciousness of energy that you have in front of you, like this, and if you didn't get one, you can get one on the way out. Basically, the point is, the higher the consciousness and energy you have, the more power you have as well. So as we look at his work, you can argue with his numbers and his ideas, but I think we could all agree definitely, yes, love is more life-giving than shame, right? So let's take a look. So first you can see the first energy level is shame at level 20, energy level 20. And when we're in shame, we're close to, interestingly, the energy of death, which is around zero, of course. Experiences of abuse of various kinds that without some kind of intervention to help you get through it, can lead to people being stuck around 20 in general for their whole lives. And children who are mostly shamed as children, by the way, end up being cruel to animals and to others. They become bullies. That's how it gets acted out sometimes. Some compensate with perfectionism and rigidity and intolerance, and others project their shame and moralistic attacks on other people. So there is what seems to be power, but Hawkins again distinguishes it as force, pressure, intimidation, an energy that is life-consuming, not life-giving. Then he goes on, you notice, to energy level 30, guilt. And as you know, that's used in our society to manipulate and punish people all the time, right? Remorse, self-recrimination, depression, victimhood, and people get stuck in guilt. You know, they can also be pretty unforgiving of others, holding grudges, you know, all that kind of stuff. Religious demagogues use it to control people with threats of hellfire and damnation, right? Guilt. Then you move up, Hawkins has us move up to level 50, which he calls apathy, that energy level. And it's characterized by despair, hopelessness, and it's like we see in many third world countries, and with homeless people who are caught in this daily grind of just trying to survive, find some food today, somewhere to sleep. There's this poverty mindset. There's no hope for anything better in your life. And people at this level become dependent. We look at it, we experience them as a drag on society. They're exhausting. And it's hard to overcome, as we saw when we many of us, worked with the Montgomery Homeless Shelter, where the success rate of getting people out of street life was only 25%. That's how hard it is to move from this energy level. The next level up, grief, is people whose energy is at this point and feeling pretty powerless at that point. And we all go through grief reactions, right, at times? But when this grief gets to stick with you and seem permanent, you get pretty stuck in depression and hopelessness as well. So then fear is the next level, and at least there's more energy in fear, right? Fear of danger is healthy. It's a good thing. Fear of enemies, of course, fear of old age, fear of economic ruin, fear of rejection, all of that stuff leads to pretty negative perspective on life. So, and as you know, fear is the favorite tool of control by repressive regimes around the world in all of history. Think of King Herod for one. Keep people scared and they'll let you stay in charge, right? And you know, chronically fearful people are always looking for leaders to stand up for them and protect them, and often leaving them even more oppressed than they started. So that's fear. The next level that he talks about is desire. At 125, that has more energy. It gets you motivated to achieve goals, earn rewards, but it can also get obsessive, can it? Can lead to accumulation and greed as life goals. So that one desire, you get one desire fulfilled, you just have to go to the next, because they don't satisfy you. Anger is the next higher level here in Hawkins' work. energy level of 150. And the good thing about that is at least it gets you moving into action. It leads to liberation movements, right? Like the abolition of slavery, women's suffrage. By the way, it's the 100th anniversary of women's suffrage this year when it was passed by Congress and then approved the next year by the legislature. However, anger that feels like powerlessness and frustration can lead to violence, abuse, people oversensitive to slights, exposure at the explosive at the flip of a switch, hatred, grudge holding, right? And then there's pride, level 175 energy level. And here there's more energy, the kind of energy that can run the Marine Corps, for instance. It can lead to the desire to achieve, to take care of what you have. But as you know, pride can also be fragile. It can be defensive, vulnerable, because it's still based on stuff out there, external conditions, external approval, external getting of what you hope for and want, right? And pride can be divisive and destructive. Conflicts between religious groups come from pride. Terrorism can come from pride. Defensive nationalism, all of them can come from this level of pride. Now, Hawkins suggests we can all fall into those categories under 200 energy level from time to time. But 85% of the world's population live under the number 200 in their energy level, lending them to feel powerless, victim-like, at the mercy of life, that one's happiness or the cause of one's problems is out there somewhere. He suggests that political leaders who are under 200 are people who create more problems than they solve, whereas those over 200 use not force, but power to solve their solve problems. So this 200 is a big change point where you begin to live not out of force and pressure and intimidation and threat and fear, but out of courage. And people start to realize at this level they have positive power. Hawkins says that 204 is now the collective, the average range of energy for human beings. A big leap since just the 1980s when he says it was about 190. So that's good news, incredibly good news for us when we wonder sometimes these days if we're being plunged back into the dark ages, right? Because at this energy level, courage leads to trying new things, dealing with failures by learning from them, openness to seeing our faults and working on them, enjoying giving back to society as much as receiving from it. Then, the next level Hawkins talks about on your sheet is neutrality, where one is not likely to get caught in as much in black and white thinking, but able to be flexible, more open-minded, less judgmental. And at this level, you find that not getting your way isn't so defeating. There's a sense that you can roll with the punches, you know. If I lose my job, I'll get another one. And at this level, there's some confidence, a sensing of your power. And people at this neutral level, they're easy to get along with, he says. They're safe to be around. They're comfortable in their own skin. And then when he gets us to energy level 310, he calls this willingness. And that one is a place where you can rise quite quickly to other higher levels of consciousness and energy because you're open for growth. These types of people are likely to advance in their careers. They have a level of high self-esteem. They bounce back easily from setbacks. They learn from their experiences. They let go of the pride. And people generally at this level use more of their power to help others, to help others come up the ladder to succeed. They build a better society. And based on his research, Hawkins says, on the influences of positive power, one person who's over the energy level of 300 has the power to counterbalance 90,000 people who are under 200. Isn't that interesting? That's how much impact energy and power can have. Then at 350, Hawkins calls that acceptance. Acceptance that, yes, I am responsible for my life and development. And even though external forces have their influence on me, I can see that I have an ability to act regardless of my circumstances. There's more willingness to see and respect that others have different views. There's more acceptance of diversity, less judgment, and a sense of inclusion rather than rejection. More likely to see the whole picture of things. That's 350. Once people are at 400, that's called reason, and people who operate more generally at that level, they have a more objective energy rising out of their learning. They're able to deal with the complexities of life without just being reactive. They can value knowledge and education. They're open to discovering and making adjustments with the new information they receive. And by the way, Hawkins suggests one person over the energy level of 400 has the power to counter 400,000 other people who are under 200. Think of that impact. Then, of course, 500, love. Not the physical, emotional attraction that where I attempt to complete myself by having somebody else fill my holes in myself. It's when you, this sense of unconditional, unchanging love that does not depend on being loved back. That's 500. Agape, we call it in the Bible. And it's a sense of deep security at this level that allows one to use power for a lot of good. And at this level, you see people who are pretty generally pretty happy people, not just dependent on circumstances or others for their happiness. And by the way, all love and grace-oriented religious movements, like I would say, spiritually open Lutheranism, they calibrate at the level of 500 or more, he says. And that's why when you come to worship, you can leave feeling that you're at a higher energy level than when you came in. You feel better. And that's the impact of wonderful things like good music, like we hear here. And by the way, AA and other 12-step groups, they calibrated about 540. And that's why if you're ever around here before or after an AA or Al-Anon meeting, there are lots of them in the building, when people come out of those meetings, they'll tell you they feel better. And you can see it in them. There's positive energy coming off them. And some people say, just walking into a meeting, I feel better. Just being in that energy of that room. It's kind of cool. Now, Hawkins says that only 0.4% of the world's population consistently operate on a 500 level. So that's out of 7.7 billion people, 30 million people live at 500 or higher. But he says, interestingly, one person at the energy level of 500 can counterbalance 750 people below that level. Oh, and one positive thought, you know, even inside your own mind, you notice what power it has to counterbalance all sorts of your own negative thoughts. And by the way, that's where healthy proclamation of the gospel of God's unconditional love in Jesus Christ, the gospel that we share, is so powerful over against the hate-filled rhetoric of judgmental, fundamentalistic Christianity that measure, you know, that kind of thing that judges and condemns and sentences you to hell if you don't agree with them. That kind of Christianity, by the way, Hawkins says, measures it up with a 130 energy level compared to 500. That's important for our job as Christians here. The next energy level, joy, has an energy more unconditional. There's a capacity for enormous patience with things, persistence of a positive attitude, even in difficult circumstances, and they have a lot of effect around the people around them. People at this level of energy, they see themselves more merging with the will of God. It's not so much about me, it's more about what is God's intention for life and how can I be part of that? And one sense of responsibility for others takes on a different quality. It's a compassion that sets limits but keeps loving, you know? You know, being around that kind of person, you can feel like you're kind of in the presence of God, sort of. I think of Herb Brokering, who wrote the story I read on Christmas Eve, 'Twas the Night Before Jesus. Just full of energy and fun and joy. And you just felt good being right around him. By the way, near-death experiences that have allowed people to experience energy levels up to 700 for a brief time. But generally, Hawkins suggests that only 1 in 10 million people consistently live in this level of joy. 600, peace. And it's out of this that you see surges of energy that bring great works of art and music. We have experiences of it briefly at various times, like that cantata 3 weeks ago, if you heard it, it's like, oh, wow. Experiences that literally bring you outside yourself, lost in some kind of wonder. That's the realm of people like Teresa of Avila and her interior castles, where she describes the interior rooms where she meets God inside herself and then outside herself. And one person at the level of peace, he says, can counterbalance 10 million people below 200 energy level. Then finally, the last one on your list there is the energy level of 700 to 1,000 is called enlightenment, rarely experienced, only briefly and momentarily for most of us, but it belongs to the great ones of history who have established spiritual patterns and are at one with God more so, a complete oneness with God even. So Hawkins, as a scientist, concludes that Buddha and Krishna, even Mother Teresa are up in this level, but that Jesus surpasses them all at the 1,000 level, being one with God completely. So, there you go. What does all this scientific research have to do with the visit of the Magi to the baby Jesus? Well, where would you say Herod's energy level was in this story? Maybe 100. Maybe 100. Where would you say those Magi were as they left the stable? I think I'd give them a 5 or 6. 500? You know, it makes a difference. And where does that positive energy come from? Hawkins, even as a scientist, remember, like the Magi were scientists, says it comes from the source of life itself, what he calls the subtle power that moves all things, which leads him to conclude his book with this one line, underscored and with exclamation points, Gloria in excelsis Deo. Right from the angels, huh? Now, I didn't have time this week because it was a short week to put this all together, but I'm going to leave you to do your own wondering, reflecting, talking, searching, along with the Magi and along with Hawkins. But yes, we understand as Christians that we know the source of positive power to change the world, the light of Christ that emanates from that manger, the loving God of all creation coming to be with us, to raise our energy, to raise our understanding of who we are, things that bring us ultimately to joy and to peace and to enlightenment. Remember these words? God and Jesus says to us, I came that you may have life and have it in an abundance. He says to us, peace I leave with you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Don't let your hearts be troubled. I have overcome the world, he says. And in other places, he says, you know, these things I'm speaking to you that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be full. Or he says at the Last Supper, you may have pain now on the eve of his death, but I'll see you again. Your hearts will rejoice, and nobody can take that joy from you. Do you hear this? Jesus, the source of the very energy of life, God in the flesh, come to be with us to raise us to a new level entirely. This is the coming of the kingdom of God in the world. The light is dawning, transforming force into power and more into this world through those who are growing more deeply attuned to the light of Christ that's coming into the world. Those who follow the light that's dawning, those who search and find where to look for it, with the Magi in wonder of the power of this babe in Bethlehem who grows to be Savior of the world and who is even now redeeming and elevating and growing you and me each time we encounter him to a higher energy and an even more fuller experience of the light and power that is Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Light of the World.